This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
And welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Second hour beginning already. Going by quick. All right, let's run down south, deep South Texas, and let's check in with our good friend Captain Blaine Frymood. Hey, Blaine, what's up, man?
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing?
It's great. We got a cool morning going. It's 49 degrees, crystal clear, and northeast at 4 miles an hour.
That's the same report Brian Brer just gave me. He went to his ranch, and he's right next door over there in Zapata, so it's 49 there, too, and calm. How about that?
Yep. Man, it's beautiful. It's perfect. Yesterday was foggy. I had 4 deer hunters just came in
naturally.
On Wednesday night. Naturally, we had dense fog yesterday. Couldn't see much. They did spot a really good buck in one of the blinds, and which is that buck may get shot this morning if it's pretty where they can see it.
Right.
But we just finished up our quail hunting. The only reason we finished it up because we're starting our deer hunting right now. This is for the next 30 days, we're not going to do any quail hunting. We're going to get our deer for all of our customers, and then we'll start back quail hunting the day deer season ends, which is January the 19th, I think.
Right.
But it's looking good, man. We got some stuff going on over here. It's bucks chasing does and bucks showing up that we had never seen before.
Cool.
And the best barometer that I have is we feed all these three lanes in the yard right here. And all of a sudden, we're seeing the same deer every day for the last 2 months. And all of a sudden, we're starting to see bucks just pop up that we've never seen before. So that lets us know that things are fixing to go on.
Oh, yeah, so, that's good.
Brian Harris, a friend of ours, has his big group in for the year. He got like 14 people coming in. 4 of them came in yesterday. And, of course, they saw a lot of deer, but it was so foggy they couldn't see, you know, what's what. But it's going to change today. But
well, tell Brian to leave me one at least, you know.
Yeah.
Tell him not to shoot the whole place up for me. Come on.
No, he got a bunch of rookies. He got a bunch of rookies coming in here. They're going to be a lot of fun. Lots of women and kids.
Oh,
it's going to
be
fun, you know. They'll probably shoot the first deer that walks out. But anyway, I can't tell you how many people have shot their first buck down here in the past 44 years. It's a lot of fun seeing these people who never shot a deer before get their first buck.
I know.
It's just it's incredible. But I would say that every blind right now, you're seeing at least 10 to 15 bucks at every blind right now. That's
a lot
of little ones, too. But, you know, it's good. And some of the blinds are better. But that's according to the weather. When it's cool, these things go crazy down here. But when it turns up hot, like yesterday afternoon, it was 92. They did not see hardly any deer yesterday afternoon.
I know when you texted me, I couldn't believe that. It warmed up nice here, but it didn't get anything like that. You know, it got around 70 out here on the bay, I think about 76 or whatever, high ground about 80, but nothing like that.
Oh, it was too hot. And so two of the deer hunters went on a dove hunt. And they had a blast. They went over to the 375 to that water hole over there.
Yeah.
And they in about 45 minutes, they had their 30 birds. They said it was fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yep, that's what we get to do in the afternoons, especially when the people get their bucks. They can go out and shoot doves in the afternoon and do something a little bit different.
Right.
We got a lot of hot weather coming up, Mickey. I think it's going to be pretty warm when you get down there.
Yeah, I'll bring my extra sunglasses and sunblock.
your Bermuda shorts and your Hawaiian shirt.
You know, get that Thurston Howell the Third look. Gilligan's.
But actually, it's going to kick off early. Remember how last year the rut kicked off a little bit earlier? It's going to do the same thing this year. We got lots of stuff going on, lots of bucks chasing. The does aren't real receptive yet, but some of them are. I've already seen some of them with their skin gets fluffed up when they get bred.
Yeah, on their back where the hooves from the buck ruffles their feathers up.
Yep, ruffles the feathers. We've seen about two or three of them.
Bred does.
The bucks are wanting it to go, but the does aren't quite ready yet.
Well, the bucks are always ready. It just, you know.
That's right. Exactly. But, man, we still have spotted fawns out here, Mickey. That tells you how late that we had a lot of fawns born.
Yeah, you had a real late rut last year, man. Y'all were, after the season closed, they were rutting big time when y'all were quail hunting.
It's all about the does. We have lots of young, fresh does that have never been bred before. They're the ones that come into heat now. And then some of those older does, they're coming into heat in March, I guess. I don't know, because we got spotted fawns still out here, little tiny things.
That's crazy.
It is. It's crazy. But we'll see what happens. I'm pretty sure that we're gonna bat 100%. I'm pretty sure. So far, we've had a few hunters so far. Everybody's got their buck so far. We haven't had that many because we've been quail hunting a lot. But the people that have come have got them. And some of them pretty nice, some of them pretty old.
Well, your early dove season, y'all had 100% kill ratio, huh?
Yep, everybody limits. Got their limit. It's crazy. Very good hunting. And so far on the quail, we're averaging 30 coveys a day on the quail hunt for a group. And that's all you can shoot because it takes too much time. The most you can hit is 25 or 30 coveys in a day. Because you're spending all your time shooting birds and picking them up and then going getting some singles and then getting back in the truck and letting some more dogs down. That's physically all you can get in a day of hunting. But now if you drive around and not try to shoot anything, you can see 70 or 80 coveys real quick.
My gosh.
I mean, they're just everywhere. It's crazy.
It's better than last year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
And that's hard to believe, isn't it?
There's so many big coveys. A lot of these coveys are 15 bird coveys, 15 to 18 bird coveys. It's crazy and wild. We got to take advantage of when we have them because next year there may not be one of them out there.
Here today, gone tomorrow, man.
Yep. But we're still in a drought around here, Mickey. We need rain desperately down here.
All that stuff that worked up down your way and came this way, I guess you didn't get much of it.
Not a drop. It started just down
off your nuts.
30 miles away from us, they got it, and it's just, it seems like this season, since June, the rain just keeps passing us up. It hits all the way around us. We did have that 1 6-inch rain in October the 7th.
That helped.
But we haven't had anything since then. Rain makes things happen.
I think I was reading, you know, for your area, Jim Hogg and Hebronville, the average rainfall down there is like 11 inches. That's the average.
So, 14 inches is the average down here. But we've had more than that.
Is that what it is, 14? Yeah. That's not much.
No. But everything's still green. It looks good. You'll see. It still looks good for being middle of winter already.
Well, that wildlife down there is conditioned for that. Those are some tough animals, what they go through. Just spending the summer as a deer down there with all that fur on you, I don't know how they survive that. That's just nuts.
It's 100 degrees every day down here, every day.
Every day. Yeah.
So that's why our hunting in the mornings is always better than the evenings, because that's what those deer are conditioned to. Because they don't move in the afternoons. They don't move until midnight, I guess. And then they move from midnight until daylight, because daylight's the coolest hour of the day.
Right.
And that's when they move. So that's why we get most of our bucks in the morning. So and it ain't going to change. This next 10 days is in the mid-high 80s every afternoon, in the low 60s in the morning. So
I think there's a cool front coming next Sunday.
Oh, good.
That's what they're saying.
That'll help us. That'll help. But
that's in the future cast. So
the fog has been, we've had more days of fog than we haven't had this whole fall. So that tells you anything. That's why the quail hunting's so good too. The quail like that. They move real good in the fog because the ground's wet. They can operate when we get a southwest wind for 2 or 3 days, those quail are hard to find because they just hold up because it's so
well,
dry.
You don't get any dew point with that southwest.
Yep. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it, Mickey. I'm ready for you to get down here so we can get some good stories.
Man, I just want to hang out, man. If it's not any good, I can deal with it. I mean, I just need to get away. It's been a long year. I've been working hard, man.
I know. Well, we will definitely have fun. And your favorite blind over there is real
crawling
satisfying.
With him. It's crawling with him.
You will be very happy with what you have over there at your favorite blind.
It's actually your personal blind. You call it mine, but it's
blind.
Yours.
When you get here, it's your blind. It's definitely your blind when you get here. So it's I would say that you're going to see 15 to 18 bucks every hunt. It's got it going on. But, you know, we keep that area real quiet. We don't do any shooting all year long.
No.
Only thing we shoot is a buck, and we haven't shot a buck over there yet. So it's pretty quiet.
Man, I'm hoping I'll see that 10-pointer I saw 2 years ago out of that blind. It was on the other side of the fence line, and I couldn't shoot him.
Yeah,
he was over there. He was on a rub and a scrape, and you had all those does on your side, and I'm going, he has got to jump his fence and come over here. I mean, it was intense for about an hour. I watched him over there. He'd walk down, make another rub, and then he'd come back to where I could see him good down that one lane on the other side of the fence. He just wouldn't commit. I guess he knew I was in that stand. I don't know.
They do. They know. Even though we keep that blind so quiet, and all I do is go through there and feed it with this big white truck and don't make any noise, don't slam any doors, no human voices, and it's in the middle of nowhere. That 30,000-acre ranch backs right up to us over there where there's nobody hunts. It's all low fence. There's no telling what comes across. But they still are smart. The old bucks are smart, no matter what. Even on these giant ranches where nobody even hunts, those bucks get smart when they get 6, 7 years old.
You still got that tripod on that fence line?
I sure do. It's ready to roll.
Yep.
Ready to roll. There's two 12-pointers and a 13-point in my blind right now.
Wow.
So the one of the 12s and the 13-pointer are like 3 years old, but there's a 12-pointer that's 6 years old that may get your interest up.
Well, I remember that 11-pointer that I kept watching. It was like 4.5, 5 years old. I could have shot that deer every day I hunted there. One day he walked under the blind. I mean, I could have jumped out and roped him. And the next year, JP got him. And what'd that deer end up scoring? 160?
164.
Oh, man, that was a beautiful deer. Those split G2s on that deer were so awesome, man. What a beautiful buck that was.
Well, we got you a couple of them just like that. But I haven't seen anything that I think is 160, but I overestimate them every time. If I think it's a 150, then it's probably a 155 or a 160. But
that 10 you shot last year, man, that deer was so close to making the book. Golly, that was a giant.
I shot
deer.
It off the front porch. I had eight people up there on the porch and five dogs, and this buck comes out, and everybody says, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it. And everybody's bouncing around this porch, and the porch is back. I didn't even want to shoot it. I didn't think it was that big. I really didn't. I didn't. And come to find out, it was in the mid-160s.
Well, after I left, that there was that one big 10 that kept showing himself, especially over by the levee on the reservoir you built down the shooting range. And I said, man, that's a shooter. Well, Craig ended up shooting that deer, didn't he?
I don't know if Craig shot it. Somebody shot it. I don't remember who shot it.
That deer was over 150 easy, man. It was on a doe. It wasn't nothing like that deer you shot. But, I mean, it was still a big, mature, beautiful buck, man.
Well, We chased a buck down the county road the other day, and it came into our property. John Nelson was going quail hunting, and it was on the county road, and he turned around and pushed it back into our property. It just went right through the front gate. The gate was open. It just walked right through. Well, that buck just showed up here in the yard. It's a 9-pointer. It's about a 145 9-pointer, and I want somebody to get it. It just came from, I don't know where it came from, but it just came down the county road and popped into our ranch right here.
Yeah. You don't know.
It could have come off that one-sided high fence. No telling. There's no telling. But anyway, we got three bucks in the yard that I would love for customers to shoot. But nobody wants to hunt the yard. Everybody wants to go out and hunt a blind. I said, well,
that's the best seat in the house in my books, man. Sitting out there drinking a cold beer in the evenings and watching all them deer come out like rats, man. It's crazy.
It is insane. And the doves, oh, my God.
Most doves you'll ever see are on the front porch. That is bizarre.
Yeah. Quail and doves. There's so many doves now, when you put the corn down here in the yard, they eat it all up before the deer can come get to it. It's insane.
Nuts.
Of course, we can't shoot the doves anywhere around here, but still.
No.
They're eating us out of house and home.
They do. People don't realize how much they eat. They clean you out.
Yeah, when there's 3,000 doves on the three senderos you got here at the house, they eat it real quick. But anyway, we're lucky, Mickey. Everything's going good for us this year. We've got a lot of good bookings, and everything's been solid, and the hunting's been good. We're on the top side of the mountain, and next year we may be at the valley. No telling, you just can't tell. Mother Nature makes us.
Welcome to the guide business, huh? Next year feathers. That's the way it works, brother.
I feel so sorry for Brian's group because we're going to have fog every morning. And that's going to suck really bad. That's going to hurt us. So if we can't see them in the morning, we're out.
We're just going to have to fade the heat and hunt them in the afternoon when it's hot, man.
No, but we're not going to see them. That's the problem, and I hate to admit it, but that's just the nature of the business.
They just don't move in that heat. They just don't do it, man.
No.
All right, brother. You got any openings for the rest of the year for deer hunters?
And yeah, we do.
You'll have quail season openings.
We got a little bit of here and a little bit there. Mostly weekdays open, but we can fit you in if somebody needs to come. We want you.
All right. We'll throw them out a number where they can reach you, Blaine.
All right. Call me at 713-703-6656.
All right, bud. All right. I'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
See you. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Blaine. Bye-bye. See you now. All right, that's Captain Blaine for our mood down in deep south Texas, Jim Hogg County. It's time for a break. You listen to the Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One briefcase, one moment. Could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5:20 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Texas City. Let's check in with our good friend Dave Fremont at Boyd's One Stop and the Texas City Dyke. Good morning, Dave. How are you doing, man?
Hello, Captain Mickey.
Hello, Dave.
Doing just fine. Doing just fine.
Well, give me some good news.
Oh, I've got a lot of good news. It may not be earth-shattering or anything to most folks, but there's a lot of good news floating around on top of a bunch of stuff that may not be such good news. But 56 degrees on the Texas City Dyke, and it's kind of breezy this morning, Captain Mickey. All three of the bait flags are waving. I'd say we've got at least probably about a 12-plus mile an hour wind blowing right here at the base of the Texas City Dyke. I just rode out to the end, and pretty much the same all the way out there. But
I just checked. Okay. You're right on. Eagle Point showing north northeast at 11, with gust of 15. Yeah. So you're right on the money, brother.
These old flags don't lie.
No, they don't.
There's a lot of dredging going on in the Texas City Channel, and I mean they've got it tore up from the floor up. It's a mess. So anybody that's thinking about venturing over on that ramp on the right hand side to shoot across to go over towards Pelican, or I should say the Galveston Channel, be careful. Be very, very careful, especially if you're going to try to. Oh man, they got them lit up pretty good, but it looks like a maze. I believe I'd steer clear of it, but it's there'll be some folks heading that, over that away, I would imagine, because there's been some good flounder catch going on here since.
Well, there has
since they took the safety off and let us start catching a few, but it's. It's all right. I believe it'll probably tail off in a hurry. Probably already has, but still, man, there's some good catches and some even before they had the restrictions on it and had it shut down. There were some guys I know that have been going out pretty regular and fishing along here on the dike and over there in the Galveston side and around the ferry landing and such. I'd say if we would have had a season where we could have kept flounder, it would have been a good one. It would have went down in the books as good, but we'll see. we'll see how things shape up and into this closure. And who knows, man? Of course, it'll never get back to where they're going to open it up anyway, like it was. But even if they just would open it back up for just a couple of flounder, it would make a lot of people feel a little bit better. But we'll see how the numbers all pan out and go from there. But for now, we'll see how things shape up for the rest of the year. And you mentioned a cool front, maybe next Sunday.
Yeah,
that's still this year, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we didn't have too much of anything yet, temperature wise. But I imagine we get some cooler Januaries and even a couple of cold fronts that make their way on into February. Some of our coldest winter days show up sometimes in February, so we'll kind of just see how things go. I think you were talking earlier about like what was a good Christmas gift and what's the best Christmas gift and all that stuff. I remember, and it don't take much to make me happy, but I remember in 1970, now, who was around back then besides you and I? But
I was just finishing up high school back in the day, getting ready to graduate.
Yeah. A kid moved in behind us, our old homestead, back during that time. He's about a year or two younger than me, but we run across each other there. We had a cyclone fence that separated us between the backyards and I don't know why they call it a cyclone fence. It ain't never stopped a cyclone. I mean, I ain't never seen it do anything.
Blow right on through, man.
I guess so. It's a cycloneless fence or something. But anyway, we had a cyclone fence separated, so we spotted each other and got worked up a friendship. And man, it turned into a good one. And it's still this day. We
still
don't see each
day.
Other
How
much,
about
but
that?
Yeah, we still. Converse, and now in the age of internet and all of this stuff makes it a little easier, but we might not see each other maybe once every year or so. But he lives on up around Bullard, which ain't too far to make a trip to. But anyway, I remember what that Christmas of 70, Mickey, I don't know why it stands out, but it did. I bought him 3 mirror lures, and he bought me 3 mirror lures, and that's about all we could afford. And we went down to Gibson's, and you went down to Gibson's and picked us out some mirror lures.
Oh man, I used to hang out there.
Yeah, that's when Academy was nothing.
Yeah.
But we
were like an army surplus store back in the day.
And, yes, sir.
Was a place. I mean, we had one in Baytown. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in there with a wish list, looking at stuff I wanted to buy that I couldn't afford.
We took those 3 mirror lures apiece and looked at them and stuff, and talked about how we was going to go fishing with those rascals in the spring. And we got to talking. I said, "Well, we got to wait. Let's go now." Well, that was Christmas morning, and I'm gonna tell you, that was back when Christmases had some cold mornings. But
we waited out
on that North Shore line, Mickey, I'm not kidding, without waders. And and it wasn't windy, but where that water line comes up to where it stops, it felt like we had a welding machine going around our bellies. I mean, it was, that hurts, you know. But Mickey, we got out there and caught a handful of trout with those mirror lures that Christmas morning. I've had a lot of good fishing days, but that one stands out because of the fact that we got those mirror lures for each other, and we headed out there and fought that cold water and actually caught them fish on
doing it.
Yeah,
you would nowadays at our age when you're young, all that blood pumping. It. I mean, we used to surf in the winter without wetsuits. And if we had sleeves to wear, we were really Cadillacing.
But I mean to tell you.
You'd get back up on the seawall, your legs would be blue and purple.
Yeah, the things that we did back then, we would pay good money to not have to do them now. But just some good memories like that. That one there, I hope I never forget. It was a good one with Mike. He was and still is a good friend. Oh, we got some stories. Just living and traipsing around Moses Lake and spending many nights out there camping and such. Just little silly things that don't mean a lot to anybody else, but it does to us. Just
well, good, they can take a lot away Lots from of, a man, but they can't take his memories. That's a fact.
But that was one. We got a bunch, but... as far as one of my best gifts, I guess, would be, well, probably my first ambassador, my first red ambassador.
Mine
probably
too.
Stands
that,
out.
Back then, that was the Cadillac.
Yeah, but that one stands out.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mickey, good memories. Boyd's One Stop right over here. I'm looking right at Boyd's One Stop. I'm behind it. I'm hiding back here in the back by the crawfish warehouse. I'm going to slide in there and see what we got, if we got, and what we're going to get. But it's live shrimp, live mullet, live mudfish, a whole bunch of dead different stuff. I walk down the tackle aisles, and, boy, they got things shoved in there in about every corner imaginable. So things are looking good. They were processing a bunch of table shrimp yesterday for probably some big wholesale orders. I mean, they had a mountain of shrimp back here in the warehouse. So I think some of that will get moved around. We might have some – maybe we can get us a quick shrimp sale or something before Christmas. But there's lots of things going. Boyd's Cajun Grill, we've had crawfish for during the week. We're going to have some today, I'm pretty sure, at both locations. And fried shrimp. What can I tell you, man? Merry Christmas, everybody.
Life is good. You got it, man. Well, I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, Dave, and all the good folks at Boyd's, and we appreciate what y'all do down there. I get a lot of nice compliments about the way y'all treat people.
Well, it's always good to hear somebody will make a kind comment on the Facebook page, and I'll snatch those up pretty quick and thank the folks and pass it on. And I'll pass it on to the hardworking crew that makes it happen. And I'm just a messenger and let people know. And we appreciate it, but just can't thank people enough, because without good customers, you're no good. You ain't gonna fly.
Well, I'll be out of pocket next week, but the following week I'll talk to you on the 2nd. Of January.
Yes, sir.
That Friday.
It's a pleasure, Mickey.
Hey, you
it's
got
a
it,
pleasure.
Man.
Blessed.
You and your family have a really blessed holiday season, and live it up, brother. You never know when they're going to pull your number.
Thank you, sir. Take care. We'll see you later.
All right, Dave. See you, bud. All right. That's Dave Fremont down at the Texas City Dike and Boyd's One Stop. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team, over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales@alliedinc.com. That's 281-332-6224.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5:37 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Galveston Way and check in with Captain Steve Hillman this morning on a Friday morning final segment. Good morning, Steve. What's going on, man?
Good morning. I just headed down the road.
Nice, trying cool, to loosen your water. Load.
Yes. What, 7 women on my mind, or what's the next line of it?
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's a good one.
Yeah. But no, it's been a good week, man. It's been a good stretch. Yesterday our bite got a little bit earlier. It was a little more short lived than it had been.
All right.
The rest of the week. It was my final day with the Michigan guys. Fished them Monday through yesterday.
Oh, so they come down and fish 3 days at least, huh?
Four. They booked four. And last 2 years, we got in all four. I think 3 years ago, we got rained out or blown out one day. But we've had pretty good luck through the years on weather or on catching. I mean, we fished in some pretty gnarly stuff this week. But, you know, as you know, this time of year, you can get away with that.
Right.
A little bit of wind and if you have the right gear, a little bit of rain and stuff like that, may not be all that much fun, but you can still catch fish. And when you come down from that distance, you obviously going to try to make it work. So, but now yesterday morning, we landed right on top of the fish, really, really solid trout. But it just didn't last long at all. It was crazy. That's right. When we first pulled up, we caught a couple of random reds in an area I never really catch reds. And then it turned into trout. Then we left there and went to try to get more reds. I think we caught one more oversize and caught a few more trout. But our bite was over by probably 9 o'clock, 8:45, something like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we still picked and pecked on a few. We moved around. We were looking for reds and trying to catch flounder and that kind of stuff. We only caught one throwback flounder yesterday. Been catching one or two keeper flounder a day. But we did decent on trout. I think we had 16 or 17 trout. And and kept three reds. But it wasn't bad fishing. It didn't last very long. It was weird whenever that – we had a lot of cloud cover yesterday morning, a little bit of rain, as you know. And when it cleared out and it got bluebird just for that brief two-hour period,
yeah,
everything just went away. It was beautiful out there. It was postcard conditions, but when the water got super, super clear, got real calm. I mean, the water's mm-hmm. been clear.
Yeah.
It was exceptionally clear yesterday. I mean, I was in 4.5 feet of water, and I could see the bottom. And for where I fished yesterday, that's very unusual. But everything on worms again yesterday. Started out slamming chicken and ended up throwing the flamingo flash once the sun came on up. Same old program. Nothing really changed all week. But they're not everywhere, man. These fish, I told you the other day, the fish I'm messing with are only in three or four places.
And that's where they're going to be all winter. They're established.
That's right. But I just kind of rotate my crops based on the conditions,
right,
based on the tide, water level. Water level has a lot to do with it. There's one area in particular that's just, it's really good on a high tide, but it's not worth a flip on a low tide. But, and our tides are getting, our tides have been bottoming out at like negative 0.4, negative 0.5, pretty low tides.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of changed my pattern a little bit. But in everything, and we talk about this all the time, every winter, especially in this bay, everything we're catching is not in deep water, but it's near deep water.
Sure.
So that's probably the most predictable thing about winter
fishing.
Typical
winter pattern. That's it.
Yeah. But and I'm
escape
over.
Escape route for freezes.
Yeah, they love having that buffer right there. That, you know, seek refuge. If and when we do get a big cold Arctic blast and they need to get in that deep water, they instinctively know that it's right next door to them and all they have to do is slip off in it. So,
well, and naturally, you know, the tide's going to fall really extreme when you get a blast like that, and that's where they're going to fall to is the deep crevices.
True. But now that water yesterday, it reminded me, and Todd and I were talking about it, because Todd, I told you yesterday, he's been fishing me a long time, and they've all done the Trinity thing mm-hmm. back in the day, and we were talking about how clear that water used to get back by, well, pick a spot. I mean, but we remember one day in particular back by the spillway, and actually we're kind of out in front of Cross and Red's Bio and
right.
all that stretch right there on that clamshell and
clamshell flats back there, baby. Deep clamshell flats. Jesus,
yeah,
and fish love that.
And we could see the bottom.
Right.
And we caught most of our fish on mirror lures on pink. We caught them in two different colors. The reason I'm bringing this up, I went back and listened to the podcast when I got in yesterday, and I heard you and James talking, and y'all were talking about that pink, like a holographic, and I'm wondering if it's the same one that we used to throw. Is it the one that had the little black triangles down the side of it?
No, it was just kind of a clear see-through fluorescent pink with the black eyeballs, you know, looked like a little
yeah.
rat.
But that's what this was, and not all of them had it. Not, you know,
yeah.
they have the every once in a while you buy one and have a design on the side of it, but it had to be the same thing.
Yeah, it had those
know.
Diamonds. They made a sharp fluorescent chartreuse like that with the diamonds down the side, and
okay.
A couple other baits like that. But they were, you know, it was like a little lines, little diamonds, you know, arrows pointing to the back.
Yeah, but we caught a lot of fish on that. On that particular bait back there, back then, you know, and
yeah.
I can remember looking at those trout. You could see because the water was cold, and you know, you see if you're on social media at all, you'll see some of these guys down south. They'll post videos of trout swimming through that clear water, Mm-hmm. And I can remember seeing some of that back there in the back of Trinity.
Oh, it got real clear.
It was pretty cool. But that's what yesterday reminded me of. The only difference is I didn't see the trout swimming through the water. So. but no, it's been a good week. I even fished last Saturday. I forgot to tell you yesterday. Well, I kind of ran out of time. Always kind of goes fast. But I was drifting this little stretch of shell, and had Richard Harmeyer and Larry Drake with me. Been fishing me a long, long time. And I fished a rare Saturday, and we did pretty good. We caught 16, 17 fish. It wasn't great, but it was also a Saturday, and I had to kind of leave fish.
It wasn't bad either. That's decent. You know, that's a decent catch.
But after our first drift, I kind of got run out of my deal, and whatever, no big deal. It happens. That's what you get for fishing Saturday. And so we're just drifting this shell flat, and these two guys in a Whaler and a 22 with a bow rail, and it looks similar to that picture you had sent me. That's probably the same guys.
That's the one Craig G-Town sent me. Oh, it's not.
It's not. I went back and looked. But anyway, that probably acted the same. But so we're just drifting, man. We're in like, I don't know, 4.5, 5 foot water, and we're trying to catch reds. And this boat was coming straight towards us and plowing, of course. He wasn't on plane. He wasn't idling. He was just plowing at his bow up to the
plowers are the worst.
It's horrible. And these whalers, that can throw a ship wake on you if you don't know how to ride.
Yeah, no joke.
Anyway, so this guy's coming straight towards us. And he was a goofy old fella, and he had another goofy old fella sitting on the cooler in front of him. And they pull, I'm like, what in the world is going on? Because we're just fishing. They pull right up to my boat in the middle of nowhere, like right up to me, like where I could jump in the boat with them. And he said, hey, y'all need any bait? We've got some extra bait. You need some bait? I said, no, man, we're good. And he goes, y'all want to fish? You want to fish? I said, no, we can't keep anymore. He said, what do you mean you can't keep anymore? I said, well, we can't keep any more trout. Oh, you caught trout? How many kids, you know, how big are they? I'm like, man, can you just kind of move on, go on about your business? And so he leaves, and we watch him, and now Cliff Baxter is probably, man, 300 yards from me.
Right.
He's on a little patch of shell. I think he was trying to catch reds or whatnot. He had his power pole down, and there was another reef out in front of him. And this boat is going straight. He's plowing straight for this reef. I mean, I told Richard and Larry, I said, oh, my God, watch this. And you could hear, and I actually have a video of it that Cliff sent me. You could actually hear Cliff yelling at him, hey, man, there's a reef there. There's a reef there. And the guy just keeps going, and he just bottoms out on this reef.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And he's dead in the water. And he yells over at Cliff and his guys. Says, hey, y'all need any bait? I mean, you can't make this stuff up, man. And we watched it. It was like, it looked like something out of a freaking Comedy Central deal or something. It was something. But I think that's
probably
my
laughing about it. I can envision every bit of it.
But that's probably my last Saturday to fish for a while.
Hey, man, you fish long enough, you see a lot of stuff, man. I mean.
Yeah, but there hasn't really been many. Yeah, that's exactly right. But there hasn't been many people fishing overall, especially this week. You know,
right?
I guess the weather being kind of jacked up a few days. But I think today there might be some woodworkers out. I don't know. The forecast was all over the place. Some of the forecast showed it gusting like 26 this morning out of the north.
Yeah, well,
some of them showed 5 to 10, but. What's it doing right now?
Due north at Eagle Point, 7 to 10. Galveston Channel, north-northeast, 8 to 10. Morgan's Point, north-northwest, 7 to 8. So you got three different wind directions there you can work with. Depends on where you want to go.
Okay. Well, that's perfect. But now I'm going to get this trip knocked out. I had, believe it or not, a trip for tomorrow. Again, another Saturday, and it moved, thank God. And then I'm fishing Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Then I'm going to take off little over a week, actually, for Christmas. And then we're going to do the – are you?
Yeah, I'm gone next week, buddy. I'm heading south. I'm.
What day? Are you leaving Christmas Day or the day after?
Christmas Day.
That's what you normally do.
Yeah, I'll get up and have breakfast with my wife. We always celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve.
That's right. And then
have
your
Christmas Eve party, and then that way I can sleep in a little bit and get me a little rest so I don't fall asleep at the wheel, and have breakfast with my wife and say adios. I'm gone.
Yeah, that's been your routine for a long time. And then I guess
20-something years of it.
Yeah, James's birthday's on Christmas. Your birthday's 3 days after Christmas, so you'll have your birthday at Blaine's place.
Right.
I always do. And y'all do the big shrimp fry and all that stuff.
Shrimp and oysters, and yeah.
Man, that's awesome. I fried some oysters and some fresh trout and flounder the other night.
I got that photo.
That's right. I sent you a bottle of picture.
Boy, I'm glad I don't live close to you. I'd weigh 400 pounds. I'd be hanging out at your house every night. You're a cooking machine.
Well, I don't cook like I used to.
Well, I know, but it's in your blood. That just him and name, oysters and cooking.
I went by the girls. I went by the old cafe, well, the fish house. Fish house, my cousins. And, man, their oysters were so fat, so plump. Oh, my God. We ate some of them raw, too. God, they were good and salty.
Oh, come on.
But
I don't have any of those in stock right now over here. I'd have them for breakfast. Raw oysters for breakfast.
Yeah, you need to make a run and get all stocked up for Blaine's place. How's their hunting been down there?
It's pretty good. You know, they've been dealing with a lot of fog early in the mornings, but overall, it's good so far and going to get better. They're starting to rut, so.
Right.
Well, Hillman, we won't talk till next year on that Friday the 2nd. So you have a great, safe, happy holiday and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, all that good stuff. I'll be talking to you, though. So.
Oh, yeah. We'll be chatting.
Throw out your number. Somebody wants to come go to the bottom and catch some trout while you're doing it.
Getting waked out. We can look at the bottom in this clear water.
I'm telling you.
409-256-7937.
All right, my friend. Well, Steve, have a good day. Catch them up, and I'll talk to you in a while.
All right, man. Thank you.
See you, man. Later.
All right.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610, KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.